Mr. Wilfried Negirva, Independent Chairperson of the Council, members of the Council, ministers, ambassadors, permanent representatives to FAO, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen. It's an honor to open the last session of the Council in 2016. I would like to start by mentioning that this year, important steps were taken on our common path to sustainable development. Let me highlight two of them. First, the approval by the UN Statistics Commission, a set of 230 indicators to monitor progress towards achieving the sustainable development goals. This was a missing piece in the architecture of the 23rd Agenda. Second was the entry into force of the historic Paris Agreement on climate change, 2 years early than expected. We can consider that the framework for action to promote sustainable development is now complete, and we need urgently to act to implement it. We have to strongly implement the SDGs and the Paris Agreement. It's a race against time to safeguard our planet and people's lives. In this context, I'm proposing to adjust our management structure of FAO, creating 3 units. A new Deputy Director General who will be responsible for programs, basically the SDGs management. Second, a new Office of the Chief Statistician, also related to the increment work that we have on the SDGs, and a Department for Climate, Land, and Water. I presented the rationale behind this change in informal seminar last October 13. I addressed the same issue during the joint meeting of the Finance and Program Committees, which have welcomed the proposal. And through an information note to this Council, we have provided the additional information requested by the Program and Finance Committee for better clarification. More specific, this note addressed 3 points. The importance of approving the change now during this Council meeting. Second, the relationship between the Office of Chief Statistician and the Statistics Division. And third, the budget neutrality of the change. As you can see, this adjustment are all about management. The new deputy for programs will coordinate the works toward the implementation of the 23rd Agenda. He will be accountable for the performance of the strategic program leaders, the SPLs, who have the main responsibility towards supporting countries to achieve the SDGs. The Deputy for Programs will also oversee the related work on technical cooperation issues, resource mobilization, partnership, South-South cooperation, and the investment center and monitoring. All these functions together will be a fundamental part of FAO work in the coming years. And this is too much responsibility for the AGGTC alone to handle, which is the situation we have now in place. We also must elevate the reporting line concerning the SDGs implementation and give to this function the relevance it deserves. The work on statistics and climate change will also substantially increase with the SDGs and the Paris Agreement. Just to compare, the Millennium Development Goals framework had 61 indicators of which FAO was responsible for only four. The SDGs have 230 indicators, as I just mentioned, almost four times more than MDGs, and FAO is a custodian of 25 of them, more than 10%, which is six times more of what we had before. The Chief Statisticians team will coordinate and align statistical process at headquarters and in the field based on the SDGs requirements, and will be supervised by the new Deputy of Programs, as well as the five SPLs. The Statistics Division, in turn, will continue the normative work and service that are used by member countries and other stakeholders. Regarding climate change, the UN Climate Conference held in Marrakesh, COP22, marked the recognition that agriculture and food systems are fundamental for sustainable development. Countries will need to increase focus on agriculture and food system for adaptation and mitigation purpose. So we are proposing that FAO has a specific department to address climate change. And the time to promote these adjustments is now. Otherwise, FAO will lose precious time to better support countries achieve the SDGs. Concerning budgetary implication, let me repeat, there is no request for additional funding to bear the cost of these three new positions. These will be borne by savings in efficiencies that have been found in the current biennium. This means that there will be no incremental budget requirements, neither in this biennium nor in the next ones. This also means that we do not have to wait for the next PWB proposal to implement the change. Let me mention some other measures we are taking to align our work with the SDGs. This is highlighted in the reviewed strategic framework and outline of the medium-term plan 2018-21. We have already identified 40 SDG targets to which FAOs work directly. These SDG targets will be incorporated as targets of the five strategic objectives of FAO. And we will have also identified 53 SDGs indicators, not targets, indicators, to measure the work of the strategic programs. So FAO will work in total coordination with the Sustainable Development Goals under the supervision of the new Deputy of Programs. Distinguished representatives, with respect to the independent assessment of the technical capacity of the organization, both the joint meeting and the program committee welcome the roadmap to the next conference. The draft report of the external experts will be presented at an informal briefing to permanent representatives on February 9, 2017. Members and the secretary will be able to provide their views and comments to this draft version. The experts will take those comments and finalize their report, which will be presented to the section of the Council in April and to the conference in July. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to refer now to the appointment of the secretaries under Article 14 bodies. Let me start saying that we cannot prolong this situation in which important bodies do not have secretary. This generates concrete risk for FAO in administrative terms. We had to stop the recruitment for the OETC after receiving this application last January. And we need to soon open the VA for the treat. I'm sure that keeping this situation at the interim, pending, is not good for the interest of the bodies concerned also. To solve the situation, I made a proposal to include two representative of members in the selection panel of secretaries. A short list of select candidates will be then appointed by the DG and then submitted to board members for confirmation in accordance with legal tests and UN rules and practices. To try to move forward, I'm proposing that the secretary should be appointed for a period of 2 years. At the end of this period, the bodies themselves will be able to reconfirm or not the appointment of the secretary. And during the period of 2 years, the secretary or the independent chair of the council, if decided by the council, will carry out consultations with bodies to find a final solution. So we are proposing an ad interim arrangement to move forward. Let me clarify that we have already been in informal consultation with IOTC members as with members of the treaty, at least since last year. Last April, we formally brought to the attention of the IOTC members our concerns and proposal through a written circular communication. We reiterated these concerns through a formal statement to the last section of the IOTC in May. The legal counsel attended himself on behalf of my representative. But members of IOTC have not taken action nor even reply to all our demands. I call your support to this proposal that's presented today as a temporary compromise that will allow us to move forward and continue to seek a final solution at the same time. We have to urgently resolve this administrative issue and focus our attention on the main challenge we need to address together. For those that believe that we can still wait for more consultation, I recommend the article today in the New York Times International Edition, signed by the former Commission of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries of the European Union, Maria Damanaki. It is only a coincidence that it comes on page 14. Ladies and gentlemen, last week we held a very successful symposium on improved nutrition and health diets. We took stock on the implementation of ICN2 commitments and provided a platform for the exchange of knowledge and practice. Let me highlight the two main conclusions of this symposium. First, that nutrition must be considered a public issue in all countries, rich and poor, and it needed to be addressed through adequate national policies and legislation. Second conclusion is that to produce healthy diets, we need to start with healthy soils and healthy seeds, then have a sustainable agriculture development production system, and finally, a food chain that can minimize food waste and loss, as well as to assure adequate remuneration for family farmers. So we need to promote healthy and sustainable food system from production to consumption. This was the main conclusion of the symposium. Next week, we are co-organizing a high-level event on gender. This will gather governments, UN agents, civil society, and others to reflect on the cause and consequence of gender disparity in rural areas, and to identify challenges and opportunities for unleashing the potential of rural women and girls to end hunger and poverty, particularly in the context of the Sustainable Development Goals. FAO pays a lot of attention to gender, which is one of our cross-cutting teams in the strategic framework. We have good results on gender, as demonstrated in the Program Implementation Report 2014-15, and we'll be providing an update on the medium-term report in 2017 as requested by the Council. In addition, the evaluation of all five strategic objectives will contain an annex on gender, and there will be a global evaluation to be presented to the conference in 2019. FAO takes gender serious, as you can see. This is very important for us to achieve our objectives. Ladies and gentlemen, before concluding, I'm very proud to share with you the formal recognition of the United Kingdom to FAO's good performance over the last years. In 2011, the UK's Multilateral Development Review, MDR, had placed the FAO in the special measures category and classified the organization, and I quote, poor value for money for the UK taxpayers. FAO was then formally informed that if we did not improve, our funding will be at risk. But now, in the 2016 Multilateral Development Review, FAO has been appointed as the organization that has improved the most. Let me mention an extract of the review, and I open quote, FAO stands out on this 2016 review as a much improved performer. This improvement was underpinned by strong direction from the top of the organization, and I unquote. All 38 UN agents are categorized as weak, adequate, good, or very good. FAO is now classified as good, along with WFP and IFAD. This is an outstanding recognition of the measures we have implemented last years, management and member countries working together to make FAO more and more efficient and effective. Let me highlight that since I took office, I have been pushing for consensus in our decisions. And I have been saying from the very beginning that building consensus takes time. But once we achieve it, we pave the way for moving ahead smoothly and strongly. However, the temporary lack of consensus should not block decisions or actions that the organization needs to take. It is time to act. It's time to implement the commitments we have made to achieve sustainable development. I look forward to meeting you again in the closing section of this Council and announce some concrete substantive actions we intend to take until the conference next July. I thank you very much for your attention and patience. Thank you.